early on in my time with you here, I realized that the closer we came to Christmas time, that I observed in the congregation, people increasingly, their attention level kept dropping. And some of you are smiling and shaking your head. You know, and it finally it dawned on Marblehead, you get close to Christmas, the closer you get, the pace is picking up. Your to-do list keeps in the back of your mind, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And you shortchange yourself on sleep. And finally, you get to a time where you actually sit down for more than 5 minutes and you start to just zone out because you've exhausted yourself. And I thought, well, how can we accomplish what we should be about as Christians when we meet together and yet factor in that challenge that we have to our physical being? And so we're trying to do that today in a way that both keeps us corporately involved in the service but also has us constantly focusing on the Word of God and the message that it gives us about the coming of our Savior. So let's begin this morning by taking our Bibles and turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. By the way, we'll be coming back to this book after we've sung a Christmas carol in a moment. So if there's a way you can mark this passage or keep your book open, your Bible open, that will work nicely. It's interesting how the writer to the Hebrews begins this long treatise on the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, there's a parallel to it and what we'll read later in John chapter 1. But this writer begins in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts. Now, if you would set your Bibles aside and let's take our hymn book in hand and turn to page number 124. 124 is one of Charles Wesley's many good hymns. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand together. Thank you. Amen. Remain standing for a moment of prayer. Will you join me, please? Father, thank you for the privilege of assembly this morning. We thank you for the person around whom we now turn our attention, your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you, our Heavenly Father, designed this plan of salvation in eternity past, that when the fullness of time was come, you did send forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might be adopted as sons. We pray that our time together would please you, Father, that it would in fact be helpful to each of us as we try to process again the simple and yet deeply profound message of the incarnation of the Son of God. And we pray for those who aren't with us today. Lord, we just learned of some sicknesses there within the Compton household. You know the others, Father, and the challenges that they're facing. We pray that you would minister to them, and even now may they know a sense of your presence and of your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated where you are, and let's take our Bibles again and turn back to the book of Hebrews, this time chapter 2. The point of the writer of Hebrews in the first chapter is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, was actually incarnate, that he took on human flesh, was born of the Virgin. And in Jesus we see very God of very God. And as we turn to chapter 2 of his book, he helps us understand something of the wonderful consequence that is for those who are born again and become children of God by faith in Christ. For example, at the end of chapter 2, verse 14, he tells us, "Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood," that is, those who are born again, so inasmuch as you and I are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He took on human flesh, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he, the Lord Jesus, does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. He had to take on human flesh, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. What a wonderful truth that is. And turn just a page or two further to chapter 4, where the writer takes us a step further. Chapter 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but," and let me put this comment in, "because he took on human flesh and because he lived this sinless life here in this fallen world, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Consequently," verse 16, "let us therefore come boldly." Let us come with a holy awe. Let us come with humble confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. If you would set your Bibles aside again, let's take our hymn book and turn to number 123 this time. 123, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." And we'll stand together and sing these verses. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Luke. We have been reading Luke's birth narrative together again this year, and we come to the actual birth of our Lord. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is a census for the purpose of taxation. The Romans were very shrewd in a number of ways, and not the least of which in collecting their taxes. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, and to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, now strips of cloth, ladies, and laid him in a manger, which is a euphemistic term in our English language for a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, as we ponder the coming of the second person of the Godhead, it's always staggering to us to ponder not only a great person taking a step down and doing something that seems to be beneath them, but when you're the creator of the universe, to take on human flesh, not to be born of a king and queen somewhere, but of a very common, the holy, young woman, and to have your birth not in the maternity ward of the hospital or in a clean, sterile area, but in a stable, and for your crib to be a feeding trough. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be rich. If you would mark this section in Luke's Gospel, set the Bibles aside, and let's take our hymn book again and turn to number 145. 145, Wonderful Christmas Carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's stand together and sing all three. Thank you. Please be seated again. And we'll take our Bibles and turn back to Luke chapter 2. Continue our reading at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." May I just point out something that was pointed out to me again recently. The names that Dr. Luke includes in verse 11, the Lord Jesus is referred to by the name Savior just twice in the Gospels. That's interesting to me. One is found in the Gospel of John chapter 4 as the people in Samaria, that outcast group of half-Jew, half-Gentile people, had come to understand that Jesus really was the Messiah. He said to the woman of Samaria who initially introduced them to him, said, now we believe not because of what you told us, but we understand he really is the Christ, the Savior of mankind. They got it. They got it. And now Dr. Luke quotes the angel as saying he is the Savior, who is Christ, the Greek transliteration for the Hebrew Messiah, Meshua, the Lord. And that last word, Lord, we reading in our English text, miss the point that in the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, that was the word that usually was used for the name of God himself. We see it in the Old Testament with capital letters, L-O-R-D, Jehovah or Yahweh. This is a breathtaking statement that the angel is making. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah, Adonai, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find him in the palace with the king. You will find a babe wrapped in strips of cloth, swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. God bless his word to our hearts. Mark this passage. We'll come back to it again in a moment. Let's take our hymn book again and turn to number 133, another of Charles Wesley's wonderful hymns, 133, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Let's stand together. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated again. And yet again, take your Bibles and turn back to Luke chapter 2. Dr. Luke continues his narrative in verse 15 this way. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. And you've heard me say multiple times, but it's worth repeating. It was the Greek transliteration for the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. That was the name, Luke tells us, that had been given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Well, if you would set your Bibles aside again and let's take our hymn book and turn this time to page 143. It's interesting, some of the origins of the hymns and carols we sing. This one is from a Polish carol translated for us, of course, into English. And let's sing both of these verses this morning. Set your hymn book aside and take the sheet music that you received for the carol, "What Child Is This?" We'll sing all three of these verses. Thank you. you would be seated and take the other sheet of music that you were given. Actually, no. Page 139. I'm ahead of myself. Turn to page 139. Let's sing all four of these verses as well. Let's turn to a responsive reading in the back of our hymnal. Now, if you would please, number 635, the very back of our hymnal. I've mentioned to you before that I was surprised to see, at least in the Anglican order of readings of the scriptures that they have for a given calendar year, that on Christmas Day, the reading that they asked their churches to observe is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, the great prologue to John's gospel. And I must tell you, when I heard that the first time, I didn't get it. I thought, why not a birth narrative, right? But as we understand what John is saying in his prologue and he's opening the words to his gospel, we understand the wisdom of the church fathers that organized things in that particular Protestant venue. And I appreciate it. Let's stand together this morning and read responsively these wonderful words that are breathtaking in their scope, really. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God,
even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Turn to the front of your hymnal now, number 118. I believe this, if it's not the earliest written hymn that we have in our hymn book, is certainly one of the earliest from the 4th century. Wonderful statement that follows that reading from John's Gospel nicely. Let's sing all three of these verses. Please take the other piece of sheet music now that we passed out, Come and Stand Amazed. Let's sing this medieval Dutch hymn. Thank you. Amen. Please be seated once again and take our Bibles and turn to one more passage of Scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 1. We'll go to Matthew's account of Christ's birth now. Matthew chapter 1. And the old tax collector who became the Lord's disciple and servant writes in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." And you'll remember you were here last week. We read this prophecy of Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew adds for his readers, which is translated "God with us." "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." Amen. May God bless his word to us this day. Let's take our hymn book and turn to one more carol this morning, 125. Isaac Watts. Wonderful carol, which interestingly was based on a psalm, "Joy to the World." Let's stand together and sing all four of these verses. Amen. Please be seated where you are, and let me conclude this morning, if I might, by first reading the words to an older carol that I've just been made more familiar with in recent weeks. I did this a few weeks ago, but it just seems so appropriate as we focus on Christ's birth and what he has done. Frank Houghton wrote these words in the early part of our century. The carol is entitled, "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor," and the words are these. "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thrones for a manger didst surrender. Sapphire paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becomes poor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenwards by thine eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee. Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee." Lord, as we finish our time together, would you receive from our hearts, not merely from our lips and from our outward actions, but Father, from our very hearts, our worship and our praise for you, for all that you are, for all that you have done for us in Christ our Lord. And as we, each of us, individually, as families, once again observe a date that we have set for the birth of your Son, without knowing the exact date, yet as we observe this date, may again the wonder of who you are and what you have done for us seize our hearts and minds and continue to change our lives to increasingly be like your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. May we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.